Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany.
So today we're kind of just going to jump into a couple thoughts that Mom and I have been talking about, just about connection. And I wanted to share, before we do that, a little bit of a spotlight. So this last week, Bryson and I went camping with some friends, and it was really great just to like get out and kind of get off our phones. We were completely out of service. And so it was nice to be able to just kind of connect with people and go back to just like real connection, you know, without like having notifications interrupt things or having like things you have to do in the back of your mind. And so it kind of got me thinking about, I don't know, I want to do that more in my life, just where even if I can't go fully out of service, just make spaces where I'm able to really be present with someone and just like really connect with them better, you know?
Yeah, I saw this cute idea yesterday on Instagram that a lady made these little bags and with kind of cinch drawstrings, and she would put her phone in it. It's just like a tiny little bag, just the size of her phone. Put her phone in it and put it away. Hers was mostly for driving, so she wouldn't be distracted. In order to get her phone, she'd have to open it, pull it out, you know, which she wouldn't do while she was driving. So she did it just to be a safer driver. But I was thinking that was such a good idea. If you had a specific space that you put your phone, and at certain times you knew, okay, when my phone is in this basket or this bag, I'm off limits. Like, I'm just going to be face to face. And I had a similar experience. Dad and I went to a youth conference last week, and same thing. We were kind of out in the woods. There was not very much reception. Every now and then you would walk somewhere and all of a sudden all these texts would come in. And it was funny, but all the kids, I noticed a huge difference of they were playing together. Whenever they were bored, they were looking. I mean, granted, we're in the woods. There's a lot to do, but they were looking for something to do versus just sitting and finding something to do on their phones. And even the adults, you know, we were more engaged and interacting with the kids than we would have been. And it did make a difference. I know technology is here to stay, but I wonder how we can make it more of a positive experience, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. Like, especially when you're talking about how, like, oh, we're in the woods, there's lots to do. But if you had your phone and your phone was working fully, I wonder how that would change your perspective of, oh, we're in the woods. There's not a whole lot to do, so we'll just sit on the phones. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's so interesting.
Maybe we just need to go camping more often. That's the key.
Yeah.
Go to places. Like, because we didn't have to fight the tech thing. It wasn't like constantly telling kids and adults to get off their phones. It just naturally happened because you couldn't get reception. So
there
you go. Your summertime tip, if you want a screen-free summer, go camping more often.
Yeah. Well, and it was nice, too. Like, with our group, there was one person who had, like, satellite texting. And so he was able to at least text us the coordinates of where we were going. And then we could get to him. So it was nice to have, like, a landline of, like, or not a landline, like, a lifeline, I guess, of, like, if you really needed help,
right,
you could get a hold of someone. But there was one person in charge of that, and, like, you're not going to, you know, no one's going to go up and take his phone for something. So it really did kind of help put everyone in kind of a, okay, well, we're going to just talk.
Well, and it's funny, this isn't going to be a technology episode, but I did notice also another side effect was we had several big service opportunities. One was the lake that they had, there was a dock, and there had been so much silt and dirt that had washed down after winter. That the water level was super low and you could hardly get your kayaks out or anything because it was just so low by the dock. So one of the service projects we did that week was kids were just shoveling and digging into buckets and moving dirt to a different area, kind of dredging out the lake, which seems, one of the adults was like, we could get a bobcat in here and have this done in an hour. What these kids are going to take like days to finish. But so many of the kids afterwards said that was one of their favorite parts of camp. They just loved, I mean, there was three different service activities and there was at least 50 kids at this one area working. And they, I think, just felt so proud, like it was physical labor. They were laughing, talking to each other. The water was freezing. I mean, it was like glacier water, and so that also made it kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I also wonder the impact that our screen time has on serving others. You know, you don't see the needs that are there. And maybe also you don't think you have time when really you have time.
Yeah, I love that. It's kind of like, you know, like light pollution. When you go out in the wilderness, you can see a lot more stars because there's just less light blocking the stars, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't really think of like streetlights and stuff and like city lights being that powerful. But when you go out where there aren't any, you really realize, oh, wow, there's a lot of stars I can't normally see when I'm in the city or even in just like a, you know, neighborhood. So it's almost like that a little bit. I feel like sometimes technology can do that to us a little bit where it's just like it's kind of giving enough light pollution or enough like, you know, vision pollution that it's like we can't actually see other people and what they need. Because there's just so much going on right in front of us. And there's just so much that we can access right in front of us. And it's like kind of unlimited, you know?
Right. But this actually leads us into what we did want to talk about today, which was based on a book that I was reading for my school class. So this book is called Bonds That Make Us Free. And it's Healing Our Relationships, Coming to Ourselves by C. Terry Warner. And I've been studying it for my class that I've been taking. And it's been fascinating because speaking of kind of light pollution and things that are distracting or that you can't see clearly, this book was talking about self-betrayal and how sometimes you see your emotions being caused by other people or your thoughts or feelings being caused by other people. And you start to justify that thinking and it kind of snowballs into this really maybe toxic relationship. Or at least just in your own mind, these issues, when in fact you're not seeing clearly because you can't see past your own part of that story or your own take on it.
Yeah.
And one example that he gives is he's talking about his son who comes up and is complaining to him, Dad, why didn't you fix the toilet? It's been broken for days and really upset. And the author, who's the dad, is kind of walking us through what he's thinking. And he's like, you know, first I was just thinking, I'm just going to not say anything, like compose myself before I respond. And he was so proud of himself. I mean, a good dad, like I'm not responding to this negativity. And then the kid's like, what? I'm not even important enough to talk to your own kids and, you know, teenager stuff. And then he did start talking to him, but the things he was saying were either, you know, passive aggressive or blaming the kid for stuff. And then the kid just storms out. And later he finds his son talking to his mom. And the mom was not saying any of that. She was just listening to the kid. And then he got even madder in his mind. Like, she's just buying into whatever he's saying. And she doesn't realize that I'm at work all day and I don't have time, you know, just making this whole story up in his head.
Yeah.
And in his mind, he's thinking, this is true. I do have a lot going on at work. I do have a lot going on at home. I don't have a lot of time. But because of those thoughts, it just kind of started spiraling and he started thinking worse and worse of his son. And it came to a point where he was walking down the stairs and saw this whole pile of laundry on the floor that was his son's that he hadn't put away. And he was about to just explode. And then all of a sudden he realized, when did my son become my enemy? And it just kind of shifted. And so then, of course, the rest of the book is about that. Why am I treating my son like my enemy? Because the truth is, I don't know how to fix the toilet and I'm feeling bad about that. And I could have just called someone to fix it, but I just forgot. And so it was more issues related to himself and what he felt like he should have done and didn't do. So it's talking about self-betrayal and how we have a sense of what's right in our mind and what things maybe we should have done or who we should be.
Yeah.
And when we go against that, we betray ourselves and we start to make up this story to justify that. And I thought that applied a lot to our relationships, our neighbors, our friends, and maybe some of those sticky situations we get in.
Yeah, I feel like that's so applicable to so many different scenarios. But like, especially when you're in a relationship, like marriage, I feel like is one where things come up all the time because you're so close with this person. You know, like you can't really hide a whole lot between you and them. And so it's kind of something where, or at least with my experience, it's like, if something's bothering me, it's pretty hard for me to just like hide that and not talk about it. And so when I do, it becomes like this, like resentment and bitterness that's going on inside me that they don't even know about. You know what I mean? They're like, whoa, what?
Yeah, where did that come from?
Right. So I feel like there's a lot of times where that could be a really helpful question would be just like, okay, what pollution is getting in here? Like, what pollution am I allowing and not cleaning out? You know, kind of like a pool filter almost. Like, if like pool filters are great, they catch all the gunk that gets in your pool. But if you don't clean them out every once in a while, then that gunk is just going to overflow and go back into the pool.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's like, what kind of thoughts am I allowing and what am I not cleaning out and going through? Like, especially with, you know, situations or relationships where you're like, I really care about this person. You don't want to be, you know, be rude or super abrupt or whatever. And so that can be a really good tool to like make sure that you are actually keeping in line with what you want.
Yeah. And I think it's good, like you were saying, to step back and look at your intentions and thoughts. And youth conference, we had some different people come in and teach classes, and one of them was about the stories you're telling yourself, and she was talking how to talk to yourself like a boss. And she said, okay, say one sentence about yourself and just describing yourself, and then look at that sentence. What of that is fact? Like, everyone would agree this is true. And what in that sentence is just a story that maybe some people think it's true, maybe some don't. It's not a fact, but your mind, you're telling yourself that and your mind thinks it's a fact.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because, you know, you could go to, you have this neighbor next door and they always throw loud parties or something, and you just get madder and madder and you think, they don't care about my feelings. They don't care that I have to get up early to work. And you can make up all these stories about the reason behind this, but you could also recognize that and change it and think, my neighbor loves her family and they're so close and they get together often and celebrate, and that's such an amazing thing. And quickly change that mindset of from being mad, like, it's all her fault, she's trying to make me miserable, to, wow, she must be a really cool person, she must be really good at gathering people, she must really love her family. Also, those things are stories, right? They're just things I am telling myself from one story to the next. None of it is fact, but I think it does sometimes interfere with our relationships and meeting new friends. And it's something that's good to think about.
I really like how you pointed out both of those are stories, because that's something I feel like I didn't actually think about, where it's like the best way to cut through the stories is just to communicate with them, like just to talk with them. Just be like, hey, what is your perspective on this? Do you really like hanging out with people and you just, it's easier to do when you're off work? Is it that you're trying to make me mad? Like, tell me what's actually going on here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like 9 times out of 10, that could solve so many issues if people, you know, are struggling with, like, especially like the situation you talked about, like neighbors where you're living together, but you're not. Like, you have your own space, but you don't.
Share a fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so tricky, especially when you don't always choose those people. Sometimes, most of the time, you move into a house and you didn't know the people that were on both sides of you, and then you have to make it work. So,
yeah, that's cool. I really like that. It kind of reminds me, too, I was just thinking as you were talking about, like, whole idea of, you know, cleaning out things and like making sure that you're addressing things as they come up. I feel like one of the things that people told me a lot growing up, like especially in like marriage classes or like family and relationship classes, is like, you know, communication is key. I feel like we hear that a lot, but I think that sometimes we can kind of fall into the trap of like, well, if I'm talking to the other person, then I'm communicating.
Yes.
And it's like, that is not accurate. True communication, or at least like efficient communication, is communication where you're talking about truth, like what is actually going on. You know, like you're actually addressing what's happening inside of you, and you're communicating your experience and you're listening to the other person's experience. I think that's real communication. And a lot of people can get tripped up because they're like, well, you know, I talk to my siblings all the time, or yeah, I talk to my friends all the time, or I talk to my spouse all the time. And it's like, but what is the content? What are you talking about? You know, like that matters just as much as talking in the first place, you know?
Right. And what frame of mind are you in? Like, if you're super mad and you go and try to talk to someone about something, it's probably not going to go well. And I've been trying to work on that lately. If I get really offended or hurt or whatever it is, pausing and just waiting a couple days even or weeks until I can really think about the situation and calm down and be more logical about it. Yeah. And then I can get to the point, okay, do I need to have a conversation about this? Or was it really just me and I needed to get over something?
Yeah.
But I think your frame of mind makes a huge difference, because if not, you're going to be doing a lot of talking and it's going to probably make things worse.
And communicating what your frame of mind is. Yeah. You know, like, I feel like in that example where the dad was like, hey, I'm going to keep my composure. I'm going to, you know, not just fly off the handle here. Like,
yeah.
That's great. But your kid doesn't know what you're doing, you know?
Right. Like, he thinks you're giving him the silent treatment. Right.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like that's another thing I've noticed that Bryson is actually really good at, too, is, like, when he's like, okay, here's my mindset. I don't really know how to respond to this yet. Like, I've seen him do this, like, in our relationship, but also in a lot of other relationships where he's, like, just different, like, responsibilities at church or different responsibilities at work where he's like, I don't really know what my mindset is on this, but I will get back to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're communicating the whole time. You aren't just like, oh, I'm taking space for myself. Hold on. It's like, okay, I'm taking space for myself. Hold on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it is so different. It's so different.
Yeah. And I think it's okay. Like, sometimes we want to have it all figured out. And you know that saying, don't go to bed mad, like if you're married. But while that's could be true, I think sometimes it's better to go to bed, but you should communicate that. I am not in a good space right now. I know we need to talk about this. Could we just kind of realize where our feelings are a little intense and we need some rest and then revisit this tomorrow? You know, like get it out there. I'm not trying to just roll over and ignore you, but I'm not in a good place to actually have a good adult conversation, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that really does open up the opportunity to, even if you're not leaving solving the problem or solving the feelings behind the problem, you're leaving on the same page.
You know?
Like, even if it's a let's agree to disagree for now, that's still on the same page.
Yeah. There was this example. I am the president of a women's group at our church, and one of the ladies who I don't really know very well was just going through some really hard health situations. And so I went over to visit her, and she was just fuming, just yelling about this health worker and just blaming everything on them. I mean, she was really stuck. My thought was that could all be true. Like, these people you're working with maybe don't care about your situation, and they have a million people they're working with, and you're just another number. That could be true. But when you call and yell at them on the phone, you're not going to get what you want. Like, they're not going to have any desire to make you more than a number. And so I was talking to her about that, and I was saying, you know, when you call her again tomorrow, what if you started the conversation by saying, hey, I know you've got a difficult job. You have a lot of people you're working with. I feel like I'm in a difficult situation. What can I do to help escalate my case?
Yeah.
You know, or not escalate, but move it up, you know, to be looked at. And I feel like when you say things like that, you're not taking away someone else's fault or guilt or whatever. You're just saying, I realize for this situation to improve that I need to talk to you with respect and work with you, and that's going to go a lot farther than, I mean, you call and yell at someone, they're just going to want to get off the phone with you as soon as possible. So
yeah.
Sometimes I think these situations, I mean, there's every situation in your day that you're dealing with stuff like this. Working with other people can be tricky. They all have experiences. They're coming from different places in their lives. You have different past experiences and you're trying to come together and work on this other thing. And, it takes a lot of work to get to the point where you can just calmly think through something and not project your own issues, you know?
I feel like that's something that I've been trying to work really hard at because it is really hard. I mean, I think that is probably, in my opinion, one of the most difficult things for humans to master is the art of not being reactive, because we are pretty reactive things. We are reactive creatures. And so it's when things happen that don't go your way, learning how to pause and then choose how to react is very difficult. And I feel in every instance, the people that go throughout history and kind of are admired are the people who have learned to put a pause on things and not react immediately, but, communicate in a way that they are ready to communicate.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. I'm not saying if you tend to be a get it done, work fast, that kind of person, that is also very needed in the world. So it's just you can be that way and you can be a little bit more passionate about things naturally and still know how to navigate through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Navigate through things that come up. You can be passionate about something and then know when to let go of things. I saw this quote the other day that said something, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was something like, one thing to always remember is the people that you interact with, how they treat you says more about what's going on with them than what's going on with you, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And I've been thinking about that a lot because at work we've got a big sale going on right now. So a lot of people are, excited to come in and there's lots of busyness and there's lots going on and it can be exciting and fun. And also we've hit a lot of road bumps along the way that have been, a letdown and things like that. And so I think it's just interesting to watch and see how clients feed off of our energy. So as people come in, if we're looking overwhelmed and we're just drowning, clients can see that and they're kind of
I want to work with them. Yeah.
Don't want to ask a question. Don't want to put more on their plate. More like when they approach the front counter, they're like, sorry, could you help me with something really fast? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus when we're all excited and engaged and talking, it's people come in and they're like, hey, I have a question for you. Could you help me with this? And there's no apology needed. Obviously that's welcome. Mm-hmm. And so it's just made me think about how can I bring this into the other aspects of my life right now where it's I want to exhibit, not I'm doing great all the time, but I want to exhibit something where it's regardless of where I'm at, even if things are kind of stressful, I'm open to conversation. I'm open to relationships. And if I'm really feeling I need a break, I will remove myself.
Yeah.
I can do that.
That's funny. Yesterday I went and had my hearing checked because I'd been having some issues and wanted just to see what was going on. And I was there and I was sitting for a while. It was the first time I'd been to this office. And the lady finally came up and, probably the first four words out of her mouth was, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry it took so long to get to you. And you could tell she'd had some interactions maybe that day and she was running behind. And I was like, no, it's no problem. I've got time. And it's funny how just that little interaction changed the whole rest of my visit. Mm. And she was so fun. I've never been to a doctor's office where I left thinking, I need her number. We could be friends. She was so fun.
Yeah.
And we were having this super funny conversation about, because she was saying, if you're around loud noises, wear earplugs or kind of leave the room. And we were just laughing how the loudest noise I was dealing with on a daily basis was my blender, making protein shakes. And she was good. Oh my gosh, yes. All plug my ears with both my hands and try to hit the on button with my elbow. And anyway, we were laughing so hard. And I just left that visit like, that was the most pleasant doctor experience I have ever had.
Yeah.
And I think it was just several little things of, one, diffusing the situation. I could have been mad like, yeah, it did take a long time, you know?
Yeah.
And that would have been okay. It wouldn't, like, it was true. It did take a long time, but it wouldn't have helped anything. And by just kind of saying, yeah, it's no problem. I'm fine. And also her immediately dropping it. Like, she could have gone through the rest of the visit being frazzled and trying to hurry up to, you know, but she didn't. It immediately kind of read that cue and also made a choice to make it different, and it ended up being a really positive experience. And I think that's kind of what we're going for. Like you said, we're not going for let go of who you are, or your passions, or whether you're calm or a real go-getter. We're not wanting to change that. What we're wanting is to get to a point where we can pause and think about the situation and what stories am I telling myself about this, and is it true?
Yeah.
Is this really what's going on, or is there a way that I could affect this interaction and have a more positive experience with this person I'm with?
Yeah, well, and just kind of like as a last little thing here, I think this is maybe a good thought to kind of end on, is just like when you had that interaction, you made a invitation for her. It was like you noticed that she was frazzled and...
One sec.
I know. Go get in the car. Give me 2 seconds.
Continue.
You should keep that in the
podcast. Did I handle that well?
You
get
did well.
Get in the car. And now back to my podcast about treating people well. Obviously, I have a little work to learn on that front.
Oh, that's so good. But yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, you noticed what was going on. You kind of put an invitation out there of like, hey, relax with me. You know, we're all happy. We're all good here.
Yeah.
And then she had the presence of mind to notice the invitation and accept it. Because I millions of times have not been. I've been like, oh, no, we're angry.
I can't let this go. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah. So that's our takeaway for today. Look at the invitations you're giving out or receiving. And would you like to make any changes with those? What kind of bids are you doing? And maybe let's try to make our relationships more authentic and less of the self-betrayal that sometimes we come into it with.
Yes. Until next time.
And I will work on my own, as you can tell.
Me too.
That's why we do this, because me and you have a lot to work on.
Yes. Yep. This is just keeping us on track. So.
Yeah. All right. Have a great week.